Suffering from seasonal irritants? As the pollen count rises, support your immune system with Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid, a targeted blend of nutrients and botanicals designed to help maintain healthy histamine balance and everyday comfort. Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid works with your body's natural response to seasonal environmental challenges, so you can feel your best all season long. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Edmonton Elks Canadian offensive lineman Coulter Woodmansey joins us. And Coulter, you were a hot name during free agency, but let's go before the negotiation window happened. Were there conversations about you potentially signing a contract extension with the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
Yeah, there was quite a bit. Like we went back and forth a lot. There's a lot of discussions. Hamilton was amazing. Like I truly have nothing but great things to say about that organization, the people in there, even the negotiations. Like they made some very generous offers. They were very upfront with the position, their situation. I love that organization and all the people in there. Like there's never what they allowed me to do in my first 5 years of my career, what they've allowed me to do as a person, how they've helped me grow. Like they're amazing people. Like everything from like the negotiations too. Like they were upfront. They kind of told me their situations, where they were financially. I had to make a really hard decision because of, you know, like I've got a family and two kids, but like they're good people and the negotiations went well. But at the end of the day, like it's tough. We kind of forecasted, we thought we could do more out in the market. There also became a bit of a point where like Chris Kolinkowski became available and they had to make a decision on if they thought they were going to re-sign me at the current numbers or if they had to move on to Chris. So we got to a bit of a point where it came to a head and I had to make a decision. Am I going to go to the window or will I accept the current offer that they have? We decided to go to the window so that they could make a decision to move on and sign Chris. And we went from there. But they were great through the whole thing.
The Tiger Cats selected you in the first round, fifth overall during the 2020 CFL draft. As you said, the team invested in you, developed you to get you to the point where you were the top Canadian pending free agent that could potentially get to the market. You're a Toronto native, which means you spent your football career playing in Toronto and then at the University of Guelph and then obviously for the Ticats in Hamilton. How difficult was it to close that chapter with the Ticats and say, all right, I'm going to go to the negotiation window? And then you know, as you alluded to, that the Ticats have already moved on to sign Chris Kolinkowski.
It was really difficult, right? Like I mentioned, I have my wife and my two children. Like my wife is from Mississauga. I'm from Toronto. We had never lived more than an hour, hour and a half outside of the city. Like Guelph was the farthest I'd ever lived. And we've got all of our grandparents here, all of our brothers and sisters and cousins and all this support system to take help with our two children. So like that decision to leave was not something we took lightly. Yeah, like it is really hard being away from these people that mean so much to us. And then we get into the specifics of like the Hamilton Tigers organization and you talk about like what Coach O and Scott like meant to me and then also like Scott Mitchell. And then I start thinking about the players and it's so hard. Like think about Bo and that group of people there. And I think about like Brandon Revenberg, the guy who like I wouldn't be in the opportunity. I wouldn't be the player I am without him. Like every day, I haven't been through a single professional practice without that guy. The thought of leaving and not playing with him, like again, is like that was extremely difficult. But at the end of the day, like we had to make tough decisions because that clock kind of came, and I had to prioritize my family, my children, and then also I was getting excited about the opportunities elsewhere too, about expanding our horizon. Like we had only ever been local to this area, only ever been a part of these opportunities. So like the idea of changing and creating a new life, creating a new opportunity, learning from new people, expanding who I am on the field, off the field, and it's giving my kids and my wife an opportunity to change as well. Like that played a big factor in why we made our decision because of what we believe Edmonton can do for us as well. Like what we can do there and what we can do for them.
That Hamilton chapter closes. You enter the negotiation window. What was that all like for the Woodmansey family?
It was a bit of a whirlwind because like we had to make a decision really quickly. Like things happen. The negotiation window opens up and you start hearing from teams. You start kind of you're thinking about this for months, right? Season ends in November. This is like February, and you've been thinking about, oh, where would I potentially want to live? Start forecasting the best you can and figure, okay, this is the teams will be interested in me. And then you finally get those calls, you finally get those discussions. And we had to make a decision based on like what we believe would be best for like my kids, my wife, because when we made the decision where we're going to go, like we're going there to be committed to that organization, that city, and stay there for the long haul. We made the decision for Edmonton because like we want to be here, build our family here, help build this organization, put roots down and perform for this group, like this city. And we knew that Edmonton was going to be a great place for us because like the community there is one that is like embraces their players, their coaches, and like everyone who goes there wants to stay there. Like it's crazy when you look at the organization and you think about all the players and coaches and front office members that are either former players there or born and raised there, right? Like even if you just look at the O-line, you got Brett Boyko, you got Mark Corte, David Beard, Carter O'Donnell, all guys who are from that area. Then you're looking at the coaching staff. You got, Jordan O'Shea, he's born and raised there. Coach Killam's an Alberta guy. You got JC Sherrod, who's DC, who's a former player there. You got Chris Morris, the president, who's from that area and coached at U of A. And then you even got Ed Hervey, who was a player there. You look at that organization and it excites you because it's obvious like people want to stay there and be there. Like even our real estate agent for the house, like her husband was a former offensive lineman there, Andrew Jones, and like he played on like six different teams or five different teams or something like that, and he chose to stay in Edmonton. Like there's something very special about that area, that group of people, that there's a reason why so many people are putting down their roots there, and we want to be part of that.
Edmonton was your ultimate choice, obviously, everybody knows by now. But what other teams did you hear from, Coulter?
We had discussions with Ottawa, Hamilton, Edmonton, and there were some other teams that like kicked tires on it, but those were the teams that were like the major players and trying to negotiate with us. But we kind of honed in on Edmonton quickly. When Ed started our negotiations, like he wasn't what his concerns were more, can we make this work for our family moving to Edmonton and building a life here? The finances have never been my focus. That's why I have Fred, and Fred's incredible. Like obviously you look at Fred, like he puts a lot of guys and gets them paid, and he does an amazing job with that, but he also took care of my family and took that into consideration. He knew what was important to us before he started any negotiations, so that when we got to that point where we could actually negotiate, he took care of the numbers, did a fantastic job, but then also took care of making sure that he knew what was important to me and my wife and what mattered for our two kids, so that when he came and talked to us, we had a great opportunity. And he did a great job. Like he just gave us this information so that we can make the decision. He did give his opinion because that's what he gets paid to do, but he allowed us to have like all this information so we can make a quick decision. And Edmonton became clearly like quickly, like everything kind of lined up perfectly for us. The finances were correct. Fred did a great job with that. Ed did an amazing job. They just didn't make it hard for us. They made that decision easy. And then they made sure that the family stuff, the place was right. And then once we got to know the city a little bit and got to know the people, like that, it became a no-brainer.
$300,000 per season. You're the highest paid offensive lineman in the Canadian Football League. The financials seems like it was an easy choice, but Coulter, I've said this to AJ Allen and some other players I talked to, especially around free agency, that there's more than just the money that goes into these decisions. For example, you, as you've alluded to a little bit, are leaving a lot of family members in Ontario to uproot and go to another province. So what factors outside the money played a major role in you choosing Edmonton?
Yeah, like money was important. Like you can't get away from that discussion, right? Like I've got my wife and my two kids. I got to make sure I can provide for them. Like it's my job as their father and a husband is to make sure that my family has security. So that was a huge factor. But like family and a community, like when we talk about the family side of it, like Edmonton, one of the coolest things when we started talking to them, they have like full-time staff to like make sure that your family's okay. They take care of you like with everything. They make sure that like my wife and kids are going to feel like a part of the organization. We've got friends there that are already fantastic. Like, so family was probably the hardest one, like, especially because we're walking away and leaving like my children's grandparents, my brothers and sisters, my wife's family, all the cousins. Like that was the hardest part, but Edmonton has things in place. And then also the community, the city has things in place that allowed it to like, we felt like we were going to have support and not just be out on our own. And if, you know, God forbid something happens to their kids, like, oh, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to get one kid to the hospital? Are we going to be splitting up? What are we going to do? Like, we felt like we had support through the team and through people that we're going to be able to get help. We also had, like, as I think I discussed, it's like, David Beard and his family were very close with. So we had that connection with friends out there and other people through the team. And it's also like an organization and a group. Like there's a lot of young families already on the team in Edmonton. So that was like a major decision. And then you kind of start thinking about like post football, where do you want to be? What does your life want to look like? I'd been kind of ingrained in Toronto and my family's business is in residential construction. And that was kind of what I always thought I'd end up going into post football. But then I started looking at and talking with the idea of construction out in Alberta and getting involved with the communities and the growth of that province. So that was very exciting for me. I went to real estate school. So that's another thing that we're thinking about, that like what post football will look like. And that's very exciting, that whole province, that whole community. And then also just like discussions with people in Edmonton in the organization, and the way that the community helps their players translate after football. There's a lot of players who stay in Edmonton and thrive in that community post football. So that's something that like we considered as well. And Hamilton had some great opportunities and my family had some great opportunities here for me to stay, but something that we found very exciting out there. Another one that we were kind of thinking about, and it's a major one, is like team organization and what they're building. Because like where I go, like we're gonna win. Like I'm going to Edmonton knowing that this organization is going in the right direction, and we are gonna win a lot of football games this year, and we are gonna bring a championship back to Edmonton. Like that organization is doing things the right way. The investment from ownership, president, GM to this team is doing things the right way. Like what they've already put into upgrading the facilities and the organization, what the coaches are putting in, like it's really exciting to join that. So that was part of the decision as well. Like, cause Hamilton, like they're doing things great. I genuinely love like Coach Milanovic's like vision for the team. I loved playing for him. Bo, Rev, like this whole group, like they're doing things the right way in Hamilton, but I'm very excited for what Edmonton is building. And I think I'm joining a team that is going to compete for a championship this year and is going to win a lot of games. So that was a huge factor in it as well. Like seeing what this team is building, how they're building it, what the importance, like what Ed puts importance in, like this group is exciting and it's special. So those are kind of the factors I was thinking about, like making sure I went to the right team, right organization, because we're going to go win. Then considering my family, considering football, like considering the whole package, because the money was actually probably the smallest part, even though I do have that responsibility to my family for security. It's all the things that go into a life, because I'm signing a 3-year contract, but we want to go there and make, you know, a life there and raise our kids there. So like those 3 years and that money is great, but it's what matters is like everything to come. And there's a lot of really exciting things to come with joining this Edmonton team and what's exciting for my family, the organization, and this community. Like we're very excited for the future.
You had a trial run, if you will, Coulter, because you actually did the drive with David Beard when he moved from Hamilton back to his home province, Alberta, to sign with Edmonton last offseason. So how much did that help you, your wife, your kids, your family feel more comfortable making the same trek?
Yeah. So last year when we went, I helped David drive across the country with his, took his minivan. He took his truck. He actually had his family living in a trailer out in Hamilton. So he hauled the trailer. The drive was beautiful. The drive was one of the coolest things. And I'm going to do that drive with my brother's upcoming soon. And we're really excited about it. We're going to go through Canada this time, see all the sites. It's so cool. Like getting to see the country and do everything. That's something I was genuinely excited about, and I enjoyed last year as well. But like for my wife and kids to actually see the province that we were in and see the city that we're going to be in. Like, so we spent a couple days in Edmonton. We spent a couple days in the farmland outside of there at Vanessa, David's wife's family farm. Beautiful. Like the farm was gorgeous. The whole area was beautiful. We felt pretty at home at that. And then me and my wife and our son, Mickey at the time, this was before our second son, Blue, was born. My wife was pregnant with him at the time. We went and drove Jasper and then down to Banff. And that was probably one of the most gorgeous drives we've ever done. We did the Ice Parkway. So for that, like actually getting to experience it, this had nothing to do with the free agency at the time. It was just helping our friends out and then getting the opportunity to do it. Like, it was beautiful and gorgeous. And now we look back and we're like, yeah, that was actually something that helped a lot because we saw where we're going to live and we saw how gorgeous that province is. And it was really, really cool.
It seems like there's some people as their culture that want to shrink down the negotiation window, if you will. And if that happens, I could understand why. But the old way that free agency used to happen, you didn't have days or a week to make your decision. You had literally minutes or hours. So how integral do you think it was for you and your family to get comfortable with this idea of a major move, to have that kind of a time frame, days, a week, 10 days, what have you, to make that life-altering final decision?
I would definitely not suggest changing it because, like, at the end of the day, like, yes, can you do the financial negotiations? Can Fred handle it? Yeah, Fred can handle whatever you guys throw at him, like, negotiation-wise. But the decision didn't come down to money, and we're people, right? At the end of the day, like, I'm uprooting my whole family. And for some people, maybe it is just finances, but for us, it wasn't. So, like, if we had only a couple hours, let alone just, like, the 1 week, like, it would have been extremely difficult, and we wouldn't have been able to make the right decision for us because we wouldn't have been able to have all the facts. At the end of the day, it came down to, like, we need information. We need to have, like, what is our life going to look like to be able to decide if something is the right decision for us. I wouldn't suggest it because, like, there's no real other professions out there where, like, you can't, if you're considering doing a cross-country move and moving across the world or whatever, like, that you don't actually have time to consider or see the place or do anything. Like, because it was about what we're doing with our family. And if we're given no time, that would be, you're just shooting in a barrel. Like, you just don't have an idea of what you're doing for your kids. Like, have an idea of, like, can I at least look into the schools there and make sure that my son has a school close by to an area that we might live? Like, that's what that week gives me the time to do. It's not about, like, oh, you know, Ottawa's offering me this much money, Edmonton's offering this much money. Like, that does matter, but matters more that I know my kid is going to have, like, a safe place to be. And, like, maybe there's daycares close by. Like, what actually matters is, like, my family and not that. So if you cut that week away, like, that'd be really tough to make that decision.
The smart players, too, Coulter, are looking at implications such as taxes. And you went to the University of Guelph, so I think you're probably a pretty smart guy just from going to that institution. So when you look at that, you were explaining to me that even just on a day-to-day basis, what you purchase in Alberta compared to Ontario is 8% cheaper. How much did you drill down on the cost of living and all the financial realities to being a family in Canada prior to making your decision to sign with Edmonton?
Yeah, it is something we definitely considered because, like, we're getting these financial numbers in, right? This is what Hamilton was offering, this Ottawa, right? Edmonton. And then we were looking, okay, what do we actually keep in our pocket? Because, like, these numbers sound great. Like, you know, the $300,000 sounds fantastic, but then you got to consider what you're going to pay in your income tax, your sales tax and like everyday purchases because the taxes are so high here. So we're thinking about Edmonton, right? As you mentioned, there's no provincial sales tax. There's just the federal 5%. Unlike in Ontario, where you pay an 8% provincial sales tax, you don't pay that in Alberta. So we only pay 5%. Right away, everyday purchases are 8% cheaper. Then you have a slightly lower income tax, so saving more money there. And then the other big one was there's no land transfer tax. So we're buying a house currently to be able to set our family up and saving thousands and thousands of dollars on this land transfer tax, plus the cost of the housing being so much lower. So it was something we definitely considered because it makes it hard to say no to that opportunity when you talk about the finances, because Edmonton is like Edmonton, you have cheaper housing, cheaper cost of living, saving money on taxes. Like, how do you not look at that stuff? How do you not consider it? And this was actually something that Fred laid out for us when we were in this conversation. That's why I say, like, his job, like, he did a great job of giving us all of the facts, which allowed us to be able to make a decision. Like, he was the one who laid out all the tax implications. He knew all that stuff off by heart. It was actually made our lives really easy. So he laid out, like, this is what you're actually going to be able to take home, not just some like vague, here's a number. Like, he didn't just negotiate for us. Like, he actually helped us make the decision as a family. And that's one of the things was the tax implications. So yes, did my Guelph education, that is fantastic, help out. But also, Fred, the guy that actually helped make the negotiations, walked me through most of that.
When you say Fred, you're talking about your agent, Fred
Yeah.
Weinrock, of course. And Colter, you look at this Edmonton offensive line specifically, it is stacked and it is loaded with high quality Canadians. You talked about Ed Hervey and his investment in his football teams. He's not shy about it. He'll say he wants to build on the offensive and defensive line. So how much did it attract you to go to Edmonton when you looked at how deep not only the starters are, but the rest of the offensive line is in terms of being a driving force for the Edmonton Elks as a football team?
100%. I have the same views as that. Like, you offensive line, you're not going to win games without a good offensive line. And one of the best things for me in Hamilton was like how deep that offensive line was while I was in Hamilton playing with guys like Dobson and Rev and Beard and all these like great players that pushed me, and Van Zyl is my first couple of years there. Like, me getting to go to a group like this with this many great players, like, it's going to make me be better every single day. Like, if I have an off day, like, I know there's so many great players around me to pick me up and to set the standard of like what we expect from this group, because we're expecting to be the best offensive line in the league and dominate every day. Like, the way dominate our preparation, dominate on the field, dominate in, weight room to the meeting room, like everything. Like, this is what this group has to be, like, with their investment. And that's what I believe we are trying to do. And we did a lot of the time in Hamilton. For me, I won't be, if I was going to a group where it was like a startup and there wasn't good players there and, it's developing, like, it would make it very hard to personally succeed because you're pulling guys along. I get to go to this group and play with, David Beard and Carter and like and Mark and Jordan and Bordner, like this group that's amazing. Brett, like, I get to go in this group and, I'm gonna do my best to outcompete everybody. Like, there's a group, like, we are going to be competing every day in camp for not just to play, but like to be who's gonna be the best player on the field. Like, this group. And playing together as a unit, because we're going to be the best unit in the league. Okay, yeah, I as you can tell, like, I am genuinely excited to play with this group of people. Then also you consider like who the rest of the offense is going to be. We got Cody and Rankin in the backfield. Like, with us up front, like, we're going to win some football games. Plus that defense, especially, like, we're going to win some football games.
It does seem like a young and up-and-coming team in Edmonton. You mentioned Brendan Bordner, Jordan Murray, they came over with you from Hamilton to Edmonton on the offensive line. And a lot of people were intrigued by the move of Taylor Powell to go from Hamilton to Edmonton, another Ticat to Elk conversion, let's call it. It seemed like there was a lot of hype about Taylor Powell when he got in the CFL early in his career, saw some playing time, but we haven't seen him, Colter, play football, except for the preseason, in the last couple of years because Bo Levi Mitchell stayed so healthy. But you saw him on a day-in, day-out basis in Hamilton. What kind of upside do you see in Taylor Powell?
Oh, Taylor's going to play great. When he gets his opportunity, he's gonna thrive. The guy's, like you say, like what I watched him do in Hamilton, like he genuinely prepared like he was a starter for every single game his entire career. You guys didn't see it because you don't, but like he was the first guy in the building. He was in there, I think, maybe not because Coach Milanovic is in there at like 3 a.m. every day, but like he might have been second at like 4:30 and grinding film upstairs, staying late, getting workouts. Every day after practice, he's throwing extra routes like this. He's someone who genuinely cares and knows that like his moment might come at any time because he did have moments. And when he got his chances, he succeeded. Like as a rookie, he got thrown in there. I think was it played 7-8 games and like operated our offense at a high level and can like did his job really well. And that's one thing he does like extremely well. Like he focuses and understands the side of like what his job is as a quarterback and just thrives. He's not trying to do too much. He works his ass off. He's really going to do well when he gets his opportunity.
Did you talk with guys like Taylor and Jordan and Brendan through the free agency process, or did you kind of make your decisions on your own and you all ended up in Edmonton together?
Yeah, there was discussions a little bit. Like we talked a few times throughout the off season, like through the off season as we were getting into it. Like, hey, like because we don't. It was so hard because you don't really know when people make a decision quickly. Like, hey, like what do you think's going to happen? Like, where do you think you might end up? And like discussions and kind of talking about our experiences with wherever we're going to go. Because you know there was talks of that with a bunch of guys. Like I was talking to Rev all the time because trying to make a decision is so hard. But like. Yeah, there was definitely discussions, and like, I am very excited that those guys specifically are coming to Edmonton. Yeah, you know, like Taylor and those guys.
Coulter, you are the highest paid offensive lineman in the Canadian Football League for the 2026 mm-hmm. CFL season. AJ Allen, your former teammate at the University of Guelph, is the highest paid linebacker in the Canadian Football League for the 2026 CFL season. Mm-hmm. Both went to the University of Guelph, played for the Griffins. How well do you know AJ Allen?
I love AJ. Me and him were the same recruiting class at Guelph. We played 4 years together, kind of went through a lot of ups and downs with each other. Cause like, there's no like football, like both of us are doing well now, obviously, but like, there was times where he got benched, I got benched on our time at Guelph, which you think back and you're like, wow, how does someone who's playing pro, like his ride should have been straight up and down, like exponential growth. Like it's just kind of not the way it went. So like being able to be with each other, compete with each other, like me and him did one-on-one. Like there's a bunch of times me and AJ were doing one-on-ones in the field as we were getting ready to get drafted because he was playing a lot of D end when he was at Guelph too, funny enough, and he could pass rush. He's a great dude. From the locker room, the way he operated since he was a rookie at Guelph, all that time we got to spend together. It's weird because like we were pretty close to the time like at Guelph and things get so busy and we went off and we got drafted. We're playing on different teams. We've been across the country. But like it's so cool whenever I get to see him because like you haven't missed a beat. I think he's going to do awesome in Ottawa. I genuinely am really excited for him. I'm so excited to see his success too because like he had to fight to get this opportunity. Like he wasn't a starter until this year. And then when he got there, he was ready to go and played fantastic, earned this contract, but he earned it. Like he, from being a special teams grinding in the CFL to, you know, being a backup at Guelph, like he's done everything the right way. Then I think he ended up winning President's Trophy when he was at Guelph and his year he got sent back. Like, guy's amazing. That whole class, like we had at Guelph was special, you know, with Kian and then Lactavius the next couple of years and Keandre and Clark and it's crazy. And Eric Starzl, like we had so many CFL players and pros coming out of that team.
That is a stacked class when you think about it. People are going to give me grief for talking about the University of Guelph, but I mean, you're talking about Keen Schaefer-Baker, Clark Barnes, Keandre Smith, who you obviously played mm-hmm. with in Hamilton, Tavius Robinson doing his thing in the NFL with the Baltimore Ravens, not only went to the University of Guelph, but is a City of Guelph native. But Coulter, when you think about AJ Allen, and he gave us the business about not being on Three Down Nation's own outlet all-star team, we'll call it, our own publication CFL all-star team last year. Do you think that he was underrated, even though he produced so well in 2025?
Sure. Like, to be honest, yes, he's a fantastic player. There's so many fantastic players. And the all-star teams and the... What I can say is you can see what Ottawa valued him at. And that's people that are watching all the tape, people that are genuinely caring and betting their future on him. So, like, if you want to evaluate kind of who he is as a player, take that into consideration, because, like, they valued him at that high, and they're stamping their name on him that they believe in him. All-star teams, evaluations, they're fantastic, and I love them for the league because they bring hype and they bring everything and they help promote the league. They help promote the players, and they're good for branding, but end of the day, like, it's not a focus of mine. And, like, what other people, what I care about, and I hope a lot of the other players care about, is, like, what do my coaches care about, like, think of me as a player? What do my teammates think about me as a player? And most importantly, what do I believe of myself as a player? Because, like, when I walk on the field, like, from the time I've joined, like, you have to believe you're the best player on the field. Like, and I love that AJ believes it, and if he wants to talk about it, best to him, because he's a fantastic player. And if that's one of your focuses, good. For me, it's just, what do the people around me who actually matter about my performance, like, am I living up to their standards of me? Like, am I doing the things to help my team succeed and help and actually accomplishing what my coaches are asking me? Like, that's the importance. All-star teams are great, though. Like, I think AJ deserves all the praise in the world.
Can you take us inside, Coulter, what it's like to game plan for AJ mm-hmm. Allen? Because you played the Rough Riders twice last year. One was early in the mm-hmm. season when he had sort of just become a starter, and then one was later on.
It's a lot easier later on once you actually can watch a little bit more film on the players, especially like if you're a running back when dealing with blitzing from AJ, like what's his specific move set, right? Because that's part of it is like, for me, game plan, like you got to start with like, what are you guys doing as a team? Because most importantly, if you don't know yourself, then it won't matter who you're playing because you're gonna fail because you don't know what you're supposed to do. So start with yourself, start with your own team, and then you'll work your way towards like evaluating players. So nice down at the end of the year when you actually have some film on AJ. When it's at the beginning of the year and you don't know who he is as a player, like you can evaluate a little bit of like how's he played on special teams and how's he done this and how's he done that. Like, and he's played a little bit over his time. It was hard to do, but he played on such a great defense that like that SAS defense had so many players that you had to game plan for that like you couldn't just say, okay, like we got to take away what AJ does well because then you got Thurm, you had Carney, who's a dog. I'm so excited to be playing with him again. It was really hard, but like, yes, when you played AJ, you knew you were going to get a guy who had played, like, you knew he was going to play with great effort, run to the ball, he could pass rush, he could play the run, and he would kind of get his nose in there, had a great nose for the ball.
Let's get into Malik Scoop Carney, as he likes to be called, because as you alluded to, you played with him in Hamilton. He, too, like you, goes to Edmonton on a big money deal, becomes the highest paid American defender in Canadian Football League, the salary cap era, we'll say, $270,000. What is Edmonton getting with Scoop joining the Elks?
They're getting a premier defensive end in the league, like one of the best, if not the best defensive end in the league. Pass rushes, play the runs, plays screens, drops in coverage and gets picks. Like, he does everything. But they're also getting a great dude. Like, playing with him in Hamilton, you kind of saw his work ethic. Like, he played in Hamilton, and he was a fantastic player from the time he showed up. But he had to play behind Hauser and JG and Lorenzo Maldon in his first couple of years there. And then all he did was work like crazy and perform when he got his opportunity. And then when he got in there, established himself as a starter and then get his contract out in Saskatchewan. Like, they're getting a guy who's going to show up and work hard and, like, also just one of the guys. Like, he is so funny. He is such a good dude in the room. I remember he would also come out, like, he went for dinner with the offensive line in Montreal, like, to Gibby Steakhouse a couple times. Like, just a good dude who's going to be part of the, like, team and bring up the players around him. And then, oh, yeah, he's maybe the best DN in the league. So that all helps, too.
I heard that Scoop's a character, but mm-hmm. when he's in front of the microphone with the media, it seems like he's reserved and we don't get the full real Scoop that you're talking about. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's when you're in the locker room with the guys, you get different. People are fully themselves. It's hard in front of media because, like, end of the day, like, we can't give away too much as a player, as a team, because, like, the most important thing is the team success, and we want to be able to give as much as we can to the media because, like, we're an entertainment industry. So, like, performance on the field and, like, what we put on the field is the most important. But also, like, you want to be connected to your fans because it'll make them care more about the organization. And the media is that bridge between us and our fan. And so it's tough. So, like, I'd love for Scoop to be able to be fully himself, and I think he does a great job. Like, he never isn't himself. He's never not. I've never seen him be fake in anything I've seen from him in the media either. But it's very hard because you got to put the team first in every situation. And also, I think he's a humble guy. Like, I don't think he wants to be talking about himself all the time. It's really hard to talk about yourself because, like, what is important is team success, not yourself.
That's very well said. And I wasn't giving the impression that he was fake. I just think it was a little more reserved. And it does seem like that way when you talk to Scoop, that he doesn't really want to talk about himself or how good he is, how many sacks or pressures or all the stats that he recorded, especially last year in Saskatchewan. He was focused on winning a Grey Cup there. And then that seems to be his prime focus going to Edmonton, similar to you. You talked about it multiple times through the interview. So why do you believe, Coulter, that Edmonton can go from last place in the West Division to legitimately competing for a Grey Cup in 2026?
Because you think about the people in the room. You think, like, last year's standings honestly don't matter. Like nothing matters except for, like, one play at a time, competing and doing your job. And I think about the people in that room and the organization and what they've put forward, like, just as an offense, the group we talked about on that offensive line, like, we are going to compete. We are going to play great. You think about Justin Rankin in the backfield, the best running back in the CFL. Cody, who's already performed with, and Taylor behind him. You have a great group of receivers that are all improving and young and all this. We have a defense who was playing great last year, especially down the stretch. Like, you see a team that was winning down the stretch. And when they were losing games, they lost close, and they're figuring it out last year. Like, it was a brand new organization and team last year at the start of the year. And then you saw them progress and improve. So we have a group of young, hungry, great people who are working to succeed. And then I see just the messages from the coaches and from the front office. Like, everyone is aligned that we are going to be a great team that are going to work our ass off every day to win. It's hard to see all that and not have this genuine belief. And I would not have made the decisions we've made if I didn't see that as well. Like, I'm excited to join an organization that's going the right direction. We are going to compete. We are a great team with the right people in the room.
What's it like, Coulter, to be a highly touted prospect? You were selected fifth overall in the 2020 CFL draft, and then actually exceed those expectations, because so many times around the draft process, we see hype about different guys, and, you know, a chunk of them at least don't necessarily live up to those high expectations. But you, I believe, have exceeded it. Your contract value would show it, especially for the next 3 years at $300,000 per season. But what's it like to actually be a player, go through that process, have the expectations, and then exceed them?
I don't know if I've, like, personally, I haven't exceeded my own expectations. It's more about, like, my process is the way that I'm focused. Like, I don't really look back in the way that, like, I've accomplished this. I genuinely love the process of, like, competing and building, and that's what I'm focused on. And thinking about, like, every day, just checking the box of getting a little bit better and doing the things that I'm supposed to do to perform for the team. So, like, I think about it as, like, not of what I've accomplished, is what I can do. And then also just, like, there's no end goal. Like, there's no end goal of, like, I never thought about making money, like, what contract I'd get. And honestly, as soon as possible, I want to forget about what the contract is so I can just focus on the performance on the field. You know, like, and I get drafted by Hamilton and there's expectations, but, like, I wasn't playing right away, and I had this belief that I could compete and belief that I could be great for the organization and belief that in this next play that I can block and win my one-on-one against one of the best defensive tackles in the league. Like, it's just all about this. For me, it's just about process. Like, making sure that today I went and got my workout this morning and I'm going to do some film preparation. I'm going to do the mental side of it to be able to perform and, I guess, exceed expectations. But, like, day one of training camp, perform. Day one of the season, perform. Like, that is the focus. It's not about, yeah, it's pretty cool that I'm getting. The cool thing for me isn't the accolades or anything else financially. It's like, I've been able to be there for my family. What football has allowed me to do for the people around me has been amazing. that I've been able to be a part of such great offensive lines in Hamilton and some of the success we had, even though we didn't reach our ultimate goals and any of the success, but like those moments throughout being able to be there for people and perform has been what the reward is for that. What's coming in Edmonton is exciting because of the process and what we're going to build as a unit and how we're going to perform on the field and how we're going to perform every day. Like that, it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited for that stuff. It's really hard for me to think about it as exceeding expectations because my expectations for myself are higher than what a contract says. Okay, I don't care what the numbers are for what it doesn't tell me how I've succeeded. If you understand what I'm trying to say, it's really hard for me to put into words like my mindset around football. It is for me, it's about competing every day, improving, and process is what I love. The work is what I love more than the results is what I can kind of put.
I think you put it into words very well. Coulter, for a long time, whether it was CIAU, CIS, now U Sports, has been the biggest developer of talent in terms of Canadians in the Canadian Football League and playing at a high level in the Canadian Football League. You're one of those guys. How big or small is the jump from U Sports football to being a legitimate high quality starter mm-hmm. in the Canadian Football League?
Jump's large, right? Like you think about the quality of athletes you're playing against, also the preparation. When you're at school, you're playing guys and you guys are students, and then also they're worried about their career. Like when you get to professional, everyone's full-time job is football. This is what puts their food on the family for their kids. So the jump is large, but it's football. At the end of the day, like for any kid that's trying to play the next level and anyone who wants to go from the jump to high school to U Sports or high school to division to NCAA or to professional, like it's just football. If you make it big and you think about it as like this big jump, because the guys are faster, stronger, more athletic, they are putting more time into it, but it's just football. And like it really boils down to like, are you just going to win this one play, do your one job and make your play on the field? Like the rest of it is noise. If you have great technique and you work yourself to being the best athlete you can be and your mental side's great and you cut things down to small bits, like it's not that bad. Just think about it as like accomplish one small task at a time and the whole thing will take care of itself. Yes, the jump is large, but everything in life is accomplishable if you just do, if you just get your head down, figure out a plan and make and take action towards it. For all those kids trying to make the jump, if you work your ass off, you can take care of it. Just focus on yourself, focus on like, know yourself, know your scheme, know the player you're going to play against, and then just go perform. You can do it. Everyone's played football.
That's some great advice, Coulter. You've clearly made the jump and your family's making the jump from Ontario to Alberta. So what lies ahead for you, your wife, your two boys, the mm-hmm. rest of the offseason leading into training camp and then the regular season?
A little bit of colder weather right off the hop. Like that's the, no, but like we're moving this upcoming week. We're trying to get out there a little bit early to get settled, get my kids kind of in any of the programs we want, make sure my wife has all the support, the house set up. And I'm going to be training in the facilities, which I'm really excited to be in there every day. The facilities are beautiful. Also just to get to know the organization better, get to know it, like the people that make the building run, actually get to know everyone, get to know some of the players that are local, the coaches, start with my preparation at a little bit of higher level. That's going to be the main focus is just get out there, spend the next, you know, 2 months, month and a half, whatever it is, and prepare for camp mentally. And then also just make sure my family's settled because this is a big move for them. Like, and that's a huge focus. And that's why we want to get out there early is just to make sure my wife and kids are stable. And when I go off to training camp, I can focus on football. And when we play in the season, I can focus on football and my family is okay. Cause that's the biggest thing is if I went and tried to go and move my family there, right as training camp was starting or as the season was starting, like it'd be really hard to put the focus that football deserves and needs from you. So that's the goal. This rest of this off season is prepare myself as best as possible, getting to use what's available to me with Edmonton, but make sure my family's settled.
Coulter, I appreciate you sharing some time with us and your mm-hmm. unique personal perspective through the CFL free agent process and ultimately the move to Edmonton. I'll give you one last shot. Is there anything that you want to say about the Elks organization, the fans, your move, your family, all that's gone on here in your off season to the people out there?
Yeah, I'd love to say to the Edmonton fans, like, me and my family are genuinely excited to join your community and see what we can do to help you guys, because we can already see what you guys are as people. We are really excited to build a life there and to join you guys and perform for you guys, because we're already seeing the rewards of being a part of you. But we're going to give back and can't wait for that opportunity to do so.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.